Hello and welcome to this week's Comic Roast. I am your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. I'm here with Brian. You can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. I'm here with Chris. You can find on Twitter at SkateXEdge. And we're here with Damien. You can find on Twitter at Damien Johnston. Our number one for the week is Reborn number one by Mark Millar and Greg Capullo on Image Comics. And our overrated, underrated are people we assume did or will go to hell if hell has existed. Happy Halloween to everyone out there, and I guess trick or treat, and let's do the show, right?
Smell my feet.
No, not scary.
Circles the globe in search of a listener. Can you hear me now?
I mean, I see something scary every morning.
Me too. Me too.
What's that?
Me, in the mirror.
No, that's not what I was talking about.
The way
I take to work, I kind of snake through the neighborhoods, and when I come out to 131st Street, there is, I swear to you, a massive Trump-Pence billboard on someone's lawn. It's like 5 feet tall and like 8 feet wide, and it stares me in the face every morning. It's dark out. Lately, it's been wet. And I'm groggy as hell, and I like see that, and I go, bleh. So that wakes me up every morning, but not in a good way.
Well, if you want to discuss that kind of stuff, I was woken up at work today when somebody was like, if you really want some change around here, vote Trump, man. Wow. That wasn't the worst thing that he said in that conversation, so we'll just leave it at that.
No, I see a ton of it actually kind of worries me a little bit because I see probably a 5-to-1 ratio of Trump signs on lawns. But this one is particularly enormous, and it's you could literally put it in front of someone's garage door and cover the door. It's the biggest lawn sign I've ever seen in my life.
We should go take pictures with it.
I actually thought about taking a picture so people would believe that it exists, because it's fucking huge.
No, we'll put on our like horse masks, and we'll just take pictures with it.
I'd do that.
Right?
I'd do that.
I'm just saying.
That would literally be a get-off-my-lawn moment, though. It just went up this week too, because I've been taking this route for 2 years. I never saw it until Monday morning. I'm like, is that a fucking Trump sign? That's not a sign. That's like an abomination. That thing's enormous.
Trump likes to hump.
You could fence off part of your house with this thing. It's the biggest. Like I said, it's humongous. Somebody in that subdivision really loves Trump, like a lot.
All right.
So that's exciting.
I guess what was supposed to be exciting was I had planned on doing a lot of reading this week, and I really only read about maybe 5 single issues, and then I was just like, I don't want to read anymore. And then I just turned the TV back on. But I did start season 2 of Mozart in the Jungle, and that show is still super amazing. So if no one's watching it, you guys really need to watch it. Just saying.
Sniff.
That too.
It's on my list.
I know I've told everyone I know to watch the show, and nobody has taken me up on it yet, so it's kind of disappointing. I'm a little upset. But, you know, hey, whatever. What do I know?
I started a show I'm reasonably certain nobody has started yet.
I already watched it.
All my children.
Well, the surprise is ruined, so whoever wants to go now can take it away.
General Hospital.
There, that was good.
That's all right.
All right. Well, we're all waiting in anticipation.
Yeah. No, I started that show American Crime, that ABC.
Oh, you were telling me about that last week.
Yeah. I'm probably close to done with season 1, and I'm pretty impressed with that show.
You said it was pretty sexy, didn't you?
It's not sexy. It's just really, it's really heavy. Like, it's heavy material. It's pretty surprising it's on network TV. Cause
there's that word again. Is there something wrong in the future with the Earth's gravitation?
You just
bombed.
Yeah, you did.
I tried. I failed. Let's move on.
Yeah, we'll move on from that. No, I mean, if you're of a certain political persuasion, you probably would hate this show. That's all I could really... It's not for everybody. That's... Because it's really... It really digs into the issues, and it definitely has a point of view, and certain people would not care for that point of view. Even though I think the different sides of various arguments are represented well, it's pretty obvious the show has like a certain, like I said, point of view. Other than that, I watched Game 1 of the World Series. That was a thing.
That was a thing.
You didn't watch Game 2?
No. I
figured. So you watched the game where they lost 6-0, but the game where they won, you didn't even turn on.
It's kind of like I think I'm ready to retire from sports fandom. I mean, my sports fandom is pretty dismal at this point anyway, but just the way people are about it, and just it's just unbearable to sit through.
I never got crazy into it like everyone else did, but like when we had season tickets for the White Sox, that was super fun. You know, and like when I lived with Mike and he would have people over, it would, you know, and we would, everybody would come over and watch the Bears, or everybody would come over and watch the Hawks. It was fun. But like sitting around the house by myself, like, I just don't care.
It's just as you read all these stories online about all these different, like the one thing today is like all the bars around Wrigley Field are charging I'm not kidding when I say this, not all the bars, but a significant number of the bars are charging a $250 cover charge just to get in, to be in the neighborhood in case they win, so you can celebrate afterwards. In addition to the $5 or $10 beers that you're going to be charged. It's just like, I get it. They haven't won in a super long time, and like they're the sexiest team in the world and all that stuff. But once they win, the mystique is gone. So, I mean, you're just throwing money down the toilet.
Well, like I said,
to not even go inside, because standing room only tickets for these games, $2,000 a piece.
Well, like I said,
it is expensive. It was expensive when the Hawks were in the Stanley Cup.
Before the Cubs even made it to the World Series, the tickets, the pre-sale for the roof tickets were up, and the tickets were between $20,000 and $1 million a piece, non-refundable. So that tells you how crazy these fans are for the Cubs. And the sad part is most of them, not to be that guy, but they only like the Cubs because it's like the cool team to like. You know what I mean? Like most people that go to these games, I feel like, aren't really the biggest fans. They just
most of these people that go to these games are named Chet, Cindy.
What size? I mean, again, to not be that guy, but to be that guy, I feel like
Brit.
I feel like a large portion of the like fan base that like needs to be in the neighborhood for these things are the Tomi Lahren and Martin Shkreli's of the world. So. Just, have at it. I have a couch and I have Netflix.
I don't know. I feel like it'd be. I don't know. I just feel it would be cooler if people who were actual diehard fans were able to actually go to these games, and witness this kind of stuff.
Like Bob Newhart,
dude. Yeah,
well, Bob Newhart's got money.
Who wouldn't want Bob Newhart in the stands? He's in the stands right here, right now. Hey, Bob. Man, I'm not winning this crowd over tonight.
Yeah, it's just weird. I don't know. All the arguing that's going on over it is kind of like, it's just baseball. What are you doing? Like, the world's going to be on fire in 2 weeks, and you're arguing about baseball.
Well, if you think about it this way, if you're one of the dudes on the Cubs and you win the World Series, I mean, you'll be that dude who actually... I mean, they haven't been there in over 100 years, so I mean...
No, I get the appeal. Like, I totally get the appeal. I just, I don't know.
No, I'm not saying from a fan. I'm saying for, like, a guy that's on the team.
That's what I'm saying.
That's going to be pretty significant that you are on the team that won of the team that hasn't won in over 100 years.
Right.
Like, it finally took you. Well, not you as a whole, but, you know, I mean, at least you were part of it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, the fans are dumb.
I think I'm done with sports. I mean, I've pretty much been done for, like, 5 years now, but I think I'm just officially ready to just call it a night and just retire altogether. Be like, yeah, you know, there's a lot of things on Netflix I haven't watched. There's a lot of, I don't know. I could play Minecraft. I could do that.
You could watch Mad Men.
I could physically stare at my man boobs and see if they get bigger over, like, a specified period of time. Like, whoa, I think they just grew like a centimeter. Neat.
Does anyone else have something interesting there?
Is what?
Does anyone else have any interesting things to talk about? So we don't have to talk about Brian's man boobs.
Well, the only other thing is this week I've been reminded once again of why I just cannot stomach rich people. That's all I got.
Because they can afford gigantic Trump billboards in their yard?
No, just in a more intimate setting. Just this week has been kind of one of those weeks where I'm like, ugh, these people with money just want to throw their car off a bridge.
Yeah, that. I certainly do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got nothing interesting. The only thing, I told Chris that I put food in the oven the other night and then forgot about it and fell asleep and woke up to the worst smell in my apartment that I've ever smelled, and it's still there. So
you'd be surprised how often, when I lived with Mike, he did that all the time. He would come home from the bar totally drunk, throw a frozen pizza in the oven, and fall asleep on the couch.
And there was no risk of anything starting on fire?
For me?
Yeah.
I suppose there was.
I didn't know. The only reason I ask is because every year at work we have to go through this fire extinguisher training session, and we did it this week because we had to postpone from a few weeks ago. And this year, since I've been there, is the first time we get to put out actual fire. So at first I was like, man, I hate this stupid thing because it's like a movie and you got to sit through it and it's fucking boring and it's a waste of my day, but I've never put out a real fire. This could be at least mildly entertaining. Until we got outside and the wind's blowing at us, and the way they set it up was this big vat full of flammable liquid, and he just kept lighting it on fire, and then you have to take the extinguisher and put it out, but all of the stuff coming out of the extinguisher was blowing back in our faces. So I got like a nose and mouthful full of what felt like mustard gas. So I just have fire on my brain because
that's horrible.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever done that, but it sucks so bad. Like, I'm almost like, fuck it. I just let the house burn down at that point because I'm like, yeah, I can just run from that and go to White Castle or whatever.
No, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't on very high, but it was on high enough to. It was a Trader Joe's thing, and the little plastic thing was then started to melt. And that's the smell that's in my house now, is burnt plastic.
Oh.
So it's the smell of burnt lentil and plastic and...
Wait, it's awful. It's so awful.
Are you still doing the vegetarian thing?
Mostly. This was vegetarian. This was some of the Indian food they have, which is pretty good.
Oh, come on, dude.
What?
To be vegetarian, you...
Well, I mean, I'm not. I mean, but I just...
Okay, good. I'm just making sure you're not.
The occasional veggie meal is a good thing.
Yeah, I'd say my percentage now is probably about 60% vegetarian, if maybe not a little more.
Wow.
So, I'm hoping to get up to about 80%, and then I think I'll be okay. And I mostly avoid dairy anyway, just because I don't really... There's not a ton of dairy stuff besides cheese that I love, and cheese kind of makes me feel gross, so that's already sort of not really in the equation.
I had a cheese sub today, and I felt gross afterwards.
Yeah, all the way home. You get to a certain age, and it hits you.
I don't know. Pizza's still pretty rad.
Pizza is pretty rad. Now that's a thing I would probably have a hard time giving up. But then again, I can't eat it more than like once every.
And
couple
ice cream's
weeks.
Pretty rad, too.
Yeah, too rad. Like,
well,
my belly is a testament to how much I like ice cream.
You'll just be sitting on the shitter all night long.
All right. We could pump
Eat nice
the
cream.
We could pump the brakes a little bit there.
Yeah, but
all right then. Anyone else did anything cool? No, yes. Number one time.
We can do it.
I think we can do it too. So, our number one for the week was Reborn, like I said, on Image by Greg Capullo and Mark Millar. This was Christopher's pick, so we're going to let Christopher bring it in.
Yes.
So, why don't you tell us a little something about this pick?
Well, I was more going to go into isn't life kind of funny how it all works out? You're born. You live, you die, what happens? I was asking you guys, but obviously you guys don't have an answer, so...
I feel like I'm on an episode of Captain Kangaroo right now. Like, I don't know, Captain, tell me what happened.
I was trying to be introspective.
Maybe it was just the inflection in your voice.
I will say this. I've noticed, as of lately, Mark Millar's work is a little bit more mature. In the fact that, and I'm not saying like obviously Kick-Ass was mature, so was Wanted, and, you know, other ones that he's done, but that's, like, I mean, let's be honest, those were all, like, you know, that was just gratuitous violence. The ones that he's done lately, like Chrononauts and Hawk and this one, are more of a, when I say mature, they're not...
Like Michael Landon, Touched by an Angel, mature?
Yeah, exactly, really. They got a more serious tone to it, which is a good thing, really. I enjoy Huck. I thought Chrononauts was awesome.
What do you think about Reborn?
Still a little bit more like Kick-Ass, and like, but not as violent. But this one, I like how it starts. I like how it starts off. You know, you have an elder woman who's fearing, you know, fearing death. She's to the point where she doesn't want to go to sleep. She's not ready to go. I mean, but who really is? No, I don't. You know, I liked it because it's. I think Mark Millar is like, you know, he's looking at a question that, you know, that I'm sure, you know, more than like 80% of the, you know, the people on this earth, you know, think about from time to time. You know,
way too much for me lately. I don't know why, but well, I kind of do, but.
But no, do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. I mean, actually, while I was reading this, the first thing I thought of was not to dwell on this too much, but there's this guy at work who I didn't really know. I mean, I saw him in passing. And it was just generally like, "Hey, good morning," and that was it. Like a week ago, this girl from the other office came in. She's like, "Do you mind if we hang these up?" And our boss was like, "Yeah, go ahead." And I walked past. And I'm like, "Whoa!" The guy that I'm talking about, he passed away. Like, suddenly, he was just at home, and, like, they couldn't get him to answer the phone. And they finally went to his house, and they found him dead on the couch. He was, like, 57. And I guess, like, he had some back injury, and he was taking a lot of pain pills, and I guess he took too many and passed away, which is a super huge bummer, because other people, like, knew him, and there was nobody in the house with him. He was all by himself. And that just, like, that thought, like, kind of stuck with me for a few days. I was like, that's fucking scary, man. Because, like, that is, like, got to be... Because, like, it went through this whole list of all the things he liked to do. He was a big fan of movies. He likes to read. He did all these things. And, like, in an instant, he just can't do any of it anymore.
Oh, yeah, that is the funny thing about life. You really could just go any minute, any second, and just not even know. Not to laugh at it, but, I mean, it's true. I mean...
No, it's... Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like,
The last architect that I worked for, the electrical engineer that we worked with, he was sitting at his desk working, and poof, just went, died, just like that, just sitting at his desk. He was only like 40-something, 41. Aneurysm. Brain aneurysm he died from.
Holy cow.
Yeah, he's sitting at his desk, just working. You're just working. He was just working, you know, not even thinking of anything, and just someone just flipped the switch off, and that was it. That's exactly how he died. They said, at his desk. And his father came in to the office because he wasn't answering the phone in. But I think, like, the bad... When I heard about it, I mean, the real thing that, like, got to me is the fact that, like, he had younger kids. I mean, they weren't babies or anything, but still, they were, like, you know, 7 and 8, and, you know, now they don't... That's it. Now they don't have a dad. But that's what I meant by, you know, Mark Millar, you know, like, with this book, it's how he, you know, I guess how he approached it, you know, especially with that character. Her name is Bonnie, and, you know, and she's going, and she's like, she just starts replaying everything back in her head, you know, from the time that she had her first kiss when she met her husband sitting on the couch, and, you know, she's breastfeeding her daughter, and, you know, they're just sitting there, and she's like, you know, she's like, right then at that moment, like, everything was perfect, and she's like, and then he was taken away from me. But so she, I guess, goes into some kind of cardiac arrest, and she's now, I guess, in her afterlife. The thing I liked about it is, like, I think I've seen, like, you've seen stories before, and, like, sometimes when you die or whatever, how it's been shown is, like, you're in your afterlife, but you don't really know that you're dead, or you don't, you know... You don't even know that it's you, but, like, she was totally full aware of who she was still, and even some of the people, like, around her that she met. Because she's like, you know, oh my gosh, she's like, it's, you, and he takes his helmet off, and you know, and they hug each other. But I like that idea. Like, I really do hope, like, that would be cool if, like, when you do pass away, like, your next life is, like, you're a knight or a Viking.
That'd be neat.
And it's like final, it's like Final Fantasy when you die, or it's like Elder Scrolls.
I'd be completely okay with that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying too. When I saw her, like when they show her afterlife, I'm like, dude, that's fucking rad. So you're basically saying is the next plane in life is pretty much Elder Scrolls, Skyrim, where I'm going to be fighting dragons and I'm going to be wearing armor and wielding battle axes that are bigger than me. I'm like, yeah, that's actually pretty cool.
It would be kind of rad, though, if that was true and you showed up and they're like, you're the leader of the Ebonheart Pact. And you're like, no fucking way. Like, I worked my ass off for 30 years at that shipping company and never got even regional manager. And I just plop right in and I'm the head of the crew here. This rules. I don't have to do shit. Like, that's the way to become...
Finally, everything's starting to pay off.
That's what it is. When you work and never get anywhere in real life, when you die, you become the leader of a Viking clan of Kung Fu masters. That's like, you watch all the other people get everywhere and, like, do nothing, and then you're like, what the fuck? Why do I stay late? And then you die, and now it's your turn to not work for it. That rules.
Which is basically what happened to her.
I'm bombing today. My God.
But in short, that is what Reborn is about. It's about the afterlife, really.
One story ends and another one begins. What? That's so poetic.
Yes.
I will say that one panel or that one page where it looks like a chandelier of all her memories is kind of shattering above her head. That is like super jarring. Like, it's a testament to how great of an artist Greg Capullo is, but also it's
I was about to say, man, that the artwork in here is fucking fantastic.
Yeah, Greg Capullo is one of the best.
He fucking rules.
And it's that when you hear him describe how he does his illustrations, he's like, I'd like to get all the like detail out of the way and just stick to the basics. And then I was just like, well, if that's your idea of basics, then I would hate to see what you put time into, because that's pretty impressive stuff. But just that image, no, like, that image of, like, you in, like, a just complete pitch black nothing, like, kneeled down and just, like, everything your entire life encompasses just crashing down on top of you. That's really, it's kind of an interesting way to depict what happens when it's over. I mean, I doubt that that's actually what happens, but, I mean, that's kind of a good...
No, yeah, visual it is, because it's like everything that you've ever done. I don't know what he's trying to go for, but it's almost like, in a way, he's saying, like, everything you've... I don't know if he's, like, trying to say, like, everything you've done in life is now just meaningless, or...
Yeah, I kind of got that, too. Like,
it's all shattering right before your eyes, so it's like, okay, well, like, what are you trying to say? Like, none of it ever mattered, or...
Yeah, that's kind of what I was saying. Like, your entire existence was just a house of cards, and now the card house is crumbling. And it's time for someone else to build a fake life. Wow. So Captain Kangaroo is pretty awesome.
But, yeah, like I
said...
Did
we lose,
like,
Damien?
I don't know. No, I don't think so.
No, I was on mute forever. Sorry.
Oh.
He was reading the book.
I read it.
I don't care. It's okay. I don't, like... I'm not going to write you up.
No, I did read it. I read it the day before yesterday. I'm having a little bit of a connection issue, so I'm getting you guys on.
Okay.
I didn't realize I was on mute. I was interjecting little, like, yeah, and some ha-has and stuff. And...
See, I didn't hear anything. I'm like, man, I am like,
yeah, I was
going to
say, too, like, now that Brian mentions that, I was like, dude, I'm like, where's Damien? I thought he'd be, like...
Yeah, sorry. I hit mute to talk to my kid at one point.
Throwing his... No, it's all right. It's all right. So do you... What did you think?
I thought
about anything
good
that we've said.
Yeah, you guys. I mean, you guys did it. Pretty much, you know, summed it all up there. I was. I'm actually not a giant fan of Mark Millar in general. I was thinking he has like really awesome ideas, but I feel like the execution's always a little weak. But I thought this was pretty good. Like
I thought it was a nice departure from what he's been probably known to do. like Kick-Ass and Wanted and Kingsman.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it was a more serious tone. I mean, or more, you know, I said more mature, but I mean those were mature, but this was a more. It had serious tone to it. You know, it wasn't funny.
Yeah, no, I thought it was
a good look at, you know, someone flashbacking, or, you know, just someone looking back on their life to see what they've done. And like I said, that one part where she, you know, she's thinking back and, like, you know, she's sitting with her husband and, like, she's breastfeeding her daughter and they're just sitting there, you know, and she's like, I think she says something along the lines like this, you know, she's like, right at that moment, she's like, everything was perfect.
Yeah, that was pretty kind of sad and sweet.
Yeah. But then, like, how Brian said, like, you know, how Greg Capullo did all her, you know, like, it was just images of her life, you know, from the time, you know, from the, just kind of, like, all shattering. I didn't really think about it at the time, but now that he mentions it, I mean, it is kind of a strong statement.
I was on board, man. The art's great. It's
probably onto something there, Brian. That probably did mean, like, everything that she did in that life probably didn't mean nothing, and, like, everything that she's going to go and do now is actually going to stand for something.
So,
could,
yeah,
be onto something there.
Evan Hart Packed, go.
Yeah. But like I said, I liked it. It's a nice change from what he's been known, you know, what he's known to do, or what he's done in the past. So, and yeah, and, you know, when I saw that, you know, Mark Millar, Greg Capullo is like, duh, like, really? how do you pass it by and not pick it up with those two names on it?
Yeah, I had a hard time finding it at the store because he actually has his own section.
I actually bought it on my Kindle, and it was $4, and I was kind of disappointed that it was $4. That was a lot of money for a digital book comic.
That's kind of a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the same price as the actual comic.
Yeah. And now you don't have an actual physical copy.
Correct.
That stinks.
I mean, I like the idea of, you know, being a fantasy warrior when you die, but I mean... Other than that, I honestly, outside of everything that's been said already, I will say the one thing that bummed me out the most, this was super short for a single, like, even for a single issue. Like, I feel like it took me literally, like, 4 minutes to read this thing.
Well, they needed to pay the extra money to get the Millar World logo on the back.
I don't know.
But I think
Okay.
I was going to say, I think we pretty much covered it, if you guys want to number it, but if you got more to say, by all means, go on up.
Well, I do have one thing to say I kind of left out. I am curious to the sniper in the beginning.
Oh, yeah, like if that's someone who's actually doing a service.
He was like only like 3 pages, and then you never heard anything about him again.
Because he killed her father. That was just setting up her whole story of everybody in her life is dead. Or been taken from her, with the exception of her granddaughter.
It said it was like 2002. How could her father be alive still in 2002? And she
was
like,
it?
I think it was
the
husband.
Old buzzard.
I think it's supposed to be her husband.
Because
then she talks about how my husband was killed 14 years ago by a sniper in
Minneapolis. Oh, okay. Okay, I could. Okay, well, yeah, that would make sense. Somebody. Then it's 2016. You're right.
Yeah.
There you go.
See, I read it. I wasn't just holding it right now and looking at that page, coincidentally.
Schooled.
I liked it. I thought it was really good. Like I said, nice departure from what Mark Millar's done. I mean, and then on top of that, Greg Capullo's, you know, I should just give up on drawing kind of artwork.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, that's what I meant, not him give up. Like, you look at his artwork and you're like, why do I even fucking bother trying?
Could you try and give it a number?
I'm going to give it like an 8.75.
Nice. What about you, Damian?
I thought it was tits.
8.5 for me.
Wow. Go, Brian.
I just want to qualify my review real quick. I read the afterword from Mark Millar where he pretty much just hawked Millar World the entire 7 or 8 paragraphs, which I find super obnoxious.
Yeah, I don't even know exactly what that is, but I know I hate it.
Millar World, it's like his imprint of, it's all my awesome stuff because I'm awesome. like you said, like, it's hard to like him because even when he writes something that's good, it's like he jumps out in front of you while you're reading, goes, "It's me!" And you're like, "No, fuck you. Fuck you. You're the worst." Oh, my God. Anyway, I can't lie. This was actually good. And I have to like anything Greg Capullo does because after seeing him at C2E2 during the Batman panel, he had me in tears the entire time talking like Jimmy Conway from Goodfellas. So I'm going to give it an 8.5 too.
I was going to say, besides his artwork in this is killer anyways.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, his artwork's killer. But like I said, like if I didn't love him before C2E2, having him like bounce around the room, talk about like, he goes, "Scotty goes in there and sets him up and I bury the bodies." I was like, I love this guy. He's the best. So, 8.5.
Well, I hate to be the oddball out here, but, and don't get me wrong, it was good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. The art was awesome. The story was awesome. I really like the idea behind it. But the fact that it was so short, I have to take some points and it's off. I'm going to give it like a 7.25. Since we're all doing points.
Yeah, I guess I can't see what you're saying because like I read through it too and like I retained everything from it. I just figured it was because I really liked it, so I didn't think anything about it.
Well, no, I mean it was good and it had, you know, there was a decent amount in there, but it was just short compared to some of the other
number ones that have come out from Image that are like really thick. Like, I mean, the Black Monday Murders number one. Jesus Christ, dude, that was like, I thought that was a fucking novel.
Yeah, it's like a textbook. I mean,
I kept reading it. I'm like, can I go to the next page? I'm like, oh, come on, man. I just feel like I'm doing homework.
I mean, those are like generally a buck more, but they're still, I know what you mean. It's still very different. Like when the Whores, that band Whores, they put out a EP. It was like 5 songs or something. I thought it was great. And it's like, you know, it's like 29 minutes or something. And they put out their LP. It's one more song and one more minute, but it costs like $5 more. And you're like, what? Like, what the heck's that all about?
Man, you're dogging Dog and Brian's band now.
Not like it. I was just like, I don't like it anymore.
I don't know.
Is that about the LP that comes out tomorrow?
No, the one before.
Oh, okay.
I was saying you should try the Young Terrorists number one. That was $7 and like pages.
I got that thing too.
Yeah, that thing rules.
I still have to read it.
Yes, you do. It's awesome.
Did it just come out?
No,
it came out last year, I want to say, maybe towards the beginning of the year.
No, it came out in 2015. It was on my radar when I knew it was coming out, but I never saw it in the store until like a month ago.
I just picked it up maybe a couple months ago.
That's like the cost of a lot of trades.
And it's thick. It's pretty thick. It's not as thick as a trade, but I mean it's thicker than a regular size comic book.
Is it square bound or is it a regular saddle stitch kind of thing?
No, I think it's square bound.
Settle down. Okay. Fancy words and stuff.
That's the term.
So did anyone read this article on Charlie Adlard?
I did. There's not much to it.
Yeah,
but I did.
It's not very long.
Well, then why don't you two discuss it?
He just basically was saying that he thinks the term graphic novel is a feat and that it dismisses the art form of comic books. That's kind of just what all he really said. I was just thinking, you know.
So he didn't even back up his.
No, he pretty much said that, you know, they changed the term to graphic novel to try and attract people who would never be caught dead reading comic books. And he says it's dismissive of the art form is kind of what I got from it. And I was just thinking, is the term really that bad that people should?
I don't think it's bad. I think it actually.
Yeah, I'm with you. I actually like the term graphic novel, and I also
I think it makes it sound a little bit, gives it more of a serious.
I also kind of feel like the time to complain about that maybe was like 20 years ago. I feel like at this point, like it's become it's so ubiquitous. I mean, you go to like a Barnes & Noble or a graphic novel section. It's just what it's called. And I mean, sure, the idea of putting like a little Lulu collection and a, you know, like a copy of Mouse together might, well, actually, those probably go pretty just fine together. I don't know. I guess I understand what he's saying is that like they had to rebrand comics to basically make them more palatable. But when I think of graphic novels, I think less of them not being comics and more of them being like, you know, trades, like collections and whatnot. Like when I go buy comic books, I call them comics. When I But if I have, if I, you know, loan someone a trade, I usually say like, oh, I'm here to check out this graphic novel or whatever. I mean, actually, I guess I don't say that, but I would imagine me saying it.
Yeah, and like the stuff that comes out on like Fantagraphics, like what would you really call that other than a graphic novel?
Yeah, because a lot of it doesn't come out as single issues. A lot of these just come out as like one big book, and that's the way it exists.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with trying to, like you said, rebrand, because I mean, there was a thing on Twitter last night. The girl who wrote Kim and Kim, she went on this massive Twitter rant about, I guess there's this writer, Chelsea Kane. Does that sound familiar? I think she's writing one of the Marvel books, and she's dealing with like a like tsunami of sexist bullshit online. And this girl came to her, she wrote this giant Twitter rant about how, you know, there is no such thing as a membership to comic fandom, and, you know, just because you had it a certain way for all these years, and, you know, the only time that you were accepting of women reading comics was when they basically kowtowed to your, like, narrow viewpoint, and the fact that comics are changing and the demographics are changing and the genres are expanding to include everybody. If you don't like it, then, you know, you have 75 years of history to cater to your narrow-minded viewpoint. And she kind of said, you know, if comics is ever going to break free from the, you know, stagnant fandom that kind of won't allow it to grow, then it's never going to, you know, it's never going to take hold. And you can't have it both ways. You can't have it be narrow-minded in a viewpoint and expand out to a mainstream audience, because it will never, your average mainstream viewer is not interested in superheroes or not interested in a linear story that is the same every time. They want to see variety. They want to see themselves like they do in a movie or in a TV show or in anything. So I think the term kind of helps to usher that in that direction.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that, because I am done with, I am done with superheroes.
I'm not. I'm just saying, like, I like,
well, I'm not,
I like to see a bunch of different viewpoints. I like to hear a bunch of different voices. I want to see, like, I actually, I doubt she even read it, but I responded to her tweet rant and said, I think of comics the way Martin Prince did in that episode of The Simpsons where he got the pool and tried to stuff the entire town inside. I want everybody I know to love comics as much as I do. So much so as I lent my boss two more of my trades today. And if you saw my boss on the street, you would never for a minute think she would ever even give comic books a first glance. But she loves The Walking Dead, and I'm like, here, read this, do this, borrow this. Anytime she even like shows the mildest interest, I go, here, take this, read it. You'll love it.
Yeah, no, that's great. I could not have said it better.
You can try. I didn't say it that
good.
No,
I'm good. No, I mean, I can't. I just literally can't.
Sweet. So I guess we're moving into over-under right now, huh? Giggity-giggity?
So.
All right. Moving right along to over-under, which is, what was it, people who should be or probably will be going to hell or something along those lines. At first, I was like, I'm just going to bow out because this one's going to be super hard, because you're going to pick the shittiest people on the planet and be like, yeah, he's not really that bad of a guy. But I think I've nailed it on this one. Overrated, in my opinion, is everybody.
Ooh.
Now I will explain, because if you
have
ever read the Bible, we're all going to hell. Everybody. Because everything, if you've ever worked on a Sunday or you've ever spoken back to your parents, I mean, these are all like drag you to the center of town and stone you to death offenses. You know what I mean? Like,
wasn't there like a shrimp thing? Like, if you eat shrimp on a certain day, or if you eat shrimp with like ranch dressing,
well, shellfish. No shellfish.
You think about having,
I mean, literally every person on the planet, according to the Bible, is pretty much going to hell right now.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty much.
So
then we'll all be down there doing
right.
This podcast.
And like you said, or like it's been said a million times, like after a while, you're just going to get used to the heat. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be like, hey, what's up? You going to torture me today? All right, let's do it. Just saying. Not, ugh.
Word.
Or, if you want to go the other route, according to, okay, anybody who's not Christian, according to Christians, are going to hell. Anyone who's not, you know, this, you know, a Muslim, who according to them, you're going to hell. Anyone who's not pagan, I don't know, if you're going to hell. No matter, like, there's thousands of religions on this planet, and if you don't follow the right one, you're going to hell anyway. So literally everybody's going to hell at this point. Hell itself is overrated because it's not real and never mentioned once in the Bible. Let's remember that too. Nailed it.
That's why Satan just left and gave it to Sandman.
Right, exactly. He's like, this place is bullshit.
He's like, you know, I'm kind of done with this place.
Earth and real life are so much worse.
Well, he heard that there were some cool shows going on in L.A., and he's like, oh, dude, I never got to see that band when they were touring through hell. I'm going to go see them now.
Right.
You know, kind of tying in with this whole topic, something happened in the comics world this week was Jack Chick died.
Bet he did.
If you guys are familiar, Chick Tracks. And he was, that guy was Christian. he was against people who went to church.
You're breaking up.
That's even, like, kind of frowned upon in some, oh, sorry. I said he even, you know, kind of was against people who went to church.
What?
That was kind of frowned upon by certain outlooks on the Bible. Like, people considered it more of, he liked more of the kind of, like, rebellious, quiet, reading in a cave sort of Christianity. And that's, he had problems with, like, the Catholic Church. He had problems with people who went to church for community reasons. Like, he was a nut, like a huge nut. And yeah, according to him, pretty much everyone was going to hell. Like, there's very little you could do. But he had some of the greatest panels ever in comics, and he was one of the most DIY underground comics artists ever. I mean, he did everything himself, printed everything himself, distributed it all. I think he sold like 400 million copies over the years.
You say he sold four copies?
No, 400 million. He's like the most prolific comic artist of all time.
Wow.
I mean, those little Chick Tracks, and they're generally free. People would, you know, churches or groups or whatever would buy, like, you know, 1,000 of them from him, probably from, like, a penny a piece. But, yeah, he was a goofball. A buddy of mine actually wrote to him a fan letter in the 90s, and Jack Chick, like, sent him a bunch of tracks and a nice note and signed it and everything to him. It's like one of his prized possessions.
The note,
not realizing that it was pretty ironic, you know? Yeah. Like, oh, no, I think you're insane, but thanks.
Noah's like, please enjoy these now while you're here because you're going to hell.
Yeah.
And you won't be able to take them with you. And if you do, they'll burn in the fire.
Exactly. Yeah, the picture of, like, the two teenagers, like, in the 50s dancing, where it says, like, let's smoke reefer and deny Christ. Like, that's like, like, that's their party. I think that's cool. Great.
My favorite thing ever was, like, a couple of years ago on Facebook, my aunt posted this amazing photo of, or it was a drawing or a painting or whatever. It was like a cliff, and below was this giant pit of fire, and all these people in, like, you know, the men were all dressed in, like, white button-up shirts with ties, and the women were all dressed in, like, 50s housewife dresses, and they were all just like Pink Floyd the Wall walking off the cliff into the pit of fire, and you see little pitchforks sticking up out of the bottom, and the quote was like, this is real, and I'm like, oh my god, I wish, that's hilarious. You just see little people falling off this cliff. And I was one of her, like, get right with Christ now before this happens to you. And I'm like, I'd like to think I have the wherewithal to get to the edge and go, ah, fuck that. It's a long jump. I'm going to go back. And it's hot enough up here. I don't need to be in that shit down there. As if I'm going to be able to reason with demons. They go, get in that fire. And I'm like, come on. You don't mean it.
Like, what is this existence? What are you guys doing? Like, what do you get out of this?
Does this ever get old
for you too? Like,
yeah, doesn't this suck for everybody? I mean, you got to work every day.
Just the idea of infinite punishment for finite crimes is insane. Like, it's any god that would suggest that is just unjust and not worthy of worship. So even if God was real, which I do not believe he is, or it is, or whatever, I still wouldn't be on its side.
Yeah.
Like, you can spend 10 years here, like, you know, or, you know, you can spend your adult life, you know, as a gay man, and then spend eternity, you know, suffering for it, like, is insane. Like, that's the worst thing.
Yeah, and I mean, if every little thing, like, counts against you, I mean, I don't know. We could be on this all night if we keep going. I just thought that painting was hilarious.
Yeah.
It looked like an 80s metal album cover. Like
Welcome to Hell. Yeah.
Like something Dio would have put out. Probably would have been an okay record, though.
Probably.
All right. Well, then it looks like, at the moment, my number one pick is Safe. And I've gotten a little guff for this pick over the years, but I'm going to stick with it because I'm going to say Charles Manson. Because if I'm not mistaken, he told people to kill all these people, but he never actually killed anyone himself. So no, all those people had to do is just go, no, and then leave. And then he would have been like, damn it, you guys are the worst friends ever. And then that would have been the end of the story. But instead, he had followers that were stupid, and they're like, yeah, sure, I'll murder a bunch of people for you. And he just stayed home, played the guitar, going, fuck the Beach Boys, I should be in that band right now.
And he's always on Integrity Records, so he can't be that bad.
Oh, he's insane, but I mean, again...
I know that.
His hands are, they're blood-free, as far as I'm concerned. So, I mean, he can go to Heck, or Purgatory, or Walmart, whatever, but, you know, I think hell's a little extreme for a guy who never got his hands dirty.
I want to say... It was last week when I watched that movie Elvis and Nixon, that there was a little something, little clip in there that they were talking about, and something about Charles Manson. And like all he wanted to do was throw a dinner party, and then everybody else went nuts. I don't know why he's in prison. It was a whole big conspiracy. Something. I think that's where I saw it, but it was literally just a couple days ago. Kind of funny. It's kind of weird.
If I haven't seen it, it's new to me.
Right.
Exactly. Oh, that was on Family Guy when. Showing Charles Manson, he goes, if I haven't seen it, it's new to me, which I never really got, but I thought it was funny anyways.
I'd have to see it.
Sweet. Christopher, do you have anything? And he doesn't.
Someone that's overrated that's going to hell?
And Damien.
All right, well... I don't think I fully understood this the way that it was supposed to be, but
maybe Gigi Allen.
All right, let's follow that. Wait, where are you going with that one?
Overrated.
I'll tell you, I mean, heard a Gigi Allen record a few years ago that I had heard Gigi Allen back in the day, but I finally heard some again recently, and I was like, oh, this is terrible.
Oh yeah, it's bad.
Like much but I more mean... than I seem to remember. I remember just being kind of like shitty punk rock, and now I heard it again. I was like, oh god, this is just awful.
Let's throw some poop and play naked.
I stayed with a guy who was in the Murder Junkies for two shows. He's the guy John Lisa from the band Sleeper, and he told us in those two shows there was a lot of stories. He thought it was just gonna be like dumb fun, and it turned out to be very scary. Oh, I mean, he was for real, but man, that music is not good.
I've seen someone that we used to hang out with had a live video / documentary on Gigi Allen, and he made
I've seen that thing. That thing is disgusting.
Yeah, he made us watch it a few times, and I never understood the draw that guy. Like, I don't understand why people thought that shit was funny.
Close the door.
It's pretty gross.
It's okay. It's okay.
All right, we're good.
No, hold on, sorry. The whole, I mean, like I said, he just threw some poop. All he wanted was a woman to, you know, to piss down his throat. I mean, it's not, you know. Did he kill anybody? No.
He's just romantic.
Yeah, he was just misunderstood. But, yeah, the video, yeah, I remember that video, Scott. That thing is, yeah, that,
I mean, if you guys have seen the video with the French fries, that's pretty much the worst thing.
I thought the one where he, like, it was his birthday, and he said he wanted a woman to piss in his mouth. And the funny thing is if I recall from the video, she actually isn't that bad looking. And there she is, just, and he throws up. He pretty much, like, it's, I guess, but I mean, he didn't choke, but I remember him barfing, and like he just keeps going. I'm like, dude, I'm like, this is.
I'm happy to say I've never seen any of this.
Yeah, well, you know who healthy. I saw it at? Chris Dead Stops. He had it. Go figure. So, that's my pick.
Nice. Well, like I said, speaking of misunderstood, I think I misunderstood this. I think I chose. I looked at it as people who are either who are going or are there now, and I guess in my mind I was thinking of like how they're used pop culturally. I don't know why. It doesn't make a lot of sense now that I'm saying it. But the one I wrote down was actually Hitler. So I think I need to explain this a little.
No, I was gonna say he's definitely going.
Oh yeah, no, he's
there.
Oh. He was a little overrated. And, why is
I
that?
Mean, certainly the worst human being in recent history. I mean, I'm sure there's people who have done, you know, as horrible things, but his rise should be a cautionary tale. And I think my problem is that I think Hitler is brought up so often, so many times. There's that whole Godwin's Law idea that once you've invoked Hitler, like on the internet or whatever, you've lost your argument. It's because I feel like people go to it so often. I think that's where I was trying to come up with the overrated thing. Like people go to Hitler so often that it's kind of losing its effect. Like I don't think anyone's getting like a cuddly feely, like, you know, warm feeling about Hitler. Except for maybe like horrible, you know, white supremacists or something. But I think people are using it so ubiquitously that it's starting to have like it's almost funny, you know. It's like, oh yeah, Hitler, yeah. You know. It's and it shouldn't be. It should be, you know, we should be looking at, like, I don't want to bring up Hitler when I'm talking to people about Donald Trump because I know how that's going to be taken. But he's actually more applicable than a lot of people would be to describe, because when Hitler's coming up, he was made fun of for his hair. He was made fun of for being kind of dim in Germany. It was seen as like an impossibility that he would be elected. Like he was such a fringe character. Everyone's like, this is never going to happen. Like, this is ridiculous. People didn't take it seriously. And so I look at Donald Trump and I'm like, wow, that's really similar. But I can't say it now because Hitler's been used so much, so often as like the deal breaker, like wrecking the boards, you know, that now if you say it, you're not taken seriously. So I guess in the overusage of Hitler as pure evil, it's important to continue to bring it up forever, because, I mean, there will probably come a time in human history where he's just a footnote. But I hope that's because we're just so much better, not because we've had so many worse people since him. I was just saying that's the reason I brought up Hitler, is that I feel like people are using it so often, so much, that it's just losing its teeth. And that's why I chose.
Well, that and he's been mocked and satirized in pop culture so often for so long now that he's almost like a lunchbox of supervillain now. Mm-hmm. And it does kind of gloss over the atrocities that he committed that were vast and many, because, you know, you could turn on Family Guy, and if you're a young enough kid, your introduction to Adolf Hitler could be him as a cartoon character, which would totally throw off, like, the reality of what he did for that's kind of I avoided that one because I thought it was too like obvious, but yeah, I mean, it's mm-hmm. it definitely qualifies.
Excellent. Yeah,
he fed stereotypical lies, and all of Germany bought it. Well, I shouldn't say all of Germany, but a good 90% of Germany bought it at that time.
It doesn't
matter. Change, and he was offering relief from the horrible stuff that Germany was dealing with after World War One. Like,
I mean, I can see what you're saying, because it's not like he ever really like pulled the trigger or anything. But I mean,
yeah, I mean, I guess in the same way. But he, we're talking about Manson, he knew what he was doing. I mean,
oh yeah, no... he fed the lies, and him and everyone at that time are going.
Yeah, I mean, you go through that list of just like the big ones in the party, like Goebbels and freaking what's his name,
Goring,
the guy with the Iron
Heart.
Wasn't
his dad Jewish, anyways? They said.
I don't know.
I've heard that.
That might be just one of those things like that you hear. I don't.
Well, I know he was like abused by his dad. I mean, like,
I'm sure.
Verbally, not like physically, or not sexually, but like verbally and maybe physically. I don't know. But anyways, yeah.
All right. So I kind of have a duel for my underrated, because I feel like it's the same type of person, but it's two different scenarios that I will now explain. The first one is when you are clearly trying to past somebody and they purposely speed up so that you can't.
Oh, yeah.
And at the same time, when you're in, you know, behind somebody and then there's like a mile of cars behind you and a nothing but an open road in front of this idiot, you're the asshole. You should be going faster or you should get the fuck out of the way. And there is a special place in hell for these people who don't know how to drive.
Is there?
Where they're going to shove pineapples in your ass.
And I don't know. Maybe Damien doesn't get this that well, but... And I'm not saying I'm a fucking world traveler here, but every time I leave the state of Illinois, everybody is so courteous on the road, it's ridiculous. It's, you know you're in Illinois when, hey, guess what? The left lane's not for fucking passing anymore. This is mine, and I'm going 10 under. Fuck you. Illinois is full of the worst drivers on the planet.
Yeah, that's kind of a statistical reality.
They do not understand that the left lane is a passing lane, and if you're going slow and people are coming up, you need to get over, which leads people like me to just zigzag around like an asshole. But if people knew how to drive, I wouldn't have to.
Well, I got pulled over for a thing here called Scott's Law, which is a law that was passed in Illinois. If you are driving on the right, if you're driving in the right lane, and there's any sort of flashing lights on the
median.
On the median.
Shoulder.
Or the shoulder of the road, you have to immediately slow down to 40 and get one lane over from it, or you automatically get you get a ticket that's worth $1,000 and a possible 12-month suspension of your license, because there was a construction worker with the last name Scott that was struck by a moving vehicle while he was on the road setting up cones, so the law's named after him. I got pulled over for this law. Thankfully, I got a lawyer and was able to get my fine down to like $500 and, you know, just 3 months of probation or whatever. But I've watched a million people, while I was being pulled over for this, break that same exact law and get nothing. So,
right. Gosh, that's crazy. Is that, did you guys all, was that like in the news? Like something you all knew about? I mean,
no.
Not saying like.
They literally, it was one of those like laws that kind of quietly passed and like no one was told. And I got pulled over like 6 months after it passed. And when the guy pulled me over, and he's screaming at me. And I was just like, what did I do? And he's like, are you getting smart with me? And he's like reaching for his gun. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? It's like 9:30 at night. I'm trying to go home from work. I have Starbucks on my hand. I'm like, I'm being screamed at by a state cop. What is happening? And I went home. I looked it up. I'm like, oh my God, how am I going to fucking get to work now? So yeah, that was not cool. So, and I've watched people break that law millions of times since then, and nobody gets pulled over. So,
I don't know. It's weird. They think they would do like a huge public awareness campaign if they're going to do something that has such. I don't know.
The problem with that is then they can't bust people.
Is this the Chicago thing I hear about sometimes?
What?
Like people always talk about Chicago being like wicked corrupt. I don't know if that's actually a thing, but
oh, it is. It's absolutely like it's historically a corrupt city. And I read an article in a magazine where it said most people just turn a blind eye to it because the garbage gets picked up on time, the streets get swept, and you know, by and large. But no, Chicago is notoriously. Always been that way.
No, I feel like most people just don't pay attention to their state laws. You know what I mean? Like, new laws are passed all the fucking time. You know what I mean? Like, they don't tell you. You're just expected to look this stuff up. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely.
I wasn't trying to go down the whole, like...
Yeah, I just, like, something with that much... Oh, go ahead.
Huh?
Oh, sorry. No, I thought I lost you guys for a second.
Oh.
No. Oh, no, I was just saying, like, no, I agree. It just seemed like that, like, $1,000 fine and, like, a... You know, and possibly having a suspended license, like that has serious ramifications for your average person. I mean, it's definitely like, you know, a more regressive law in that way that, you know, your average person, that's a huge imposition to them. And of course, that's why you have, if a law is really serious, you want to have a serious thing, a serious penalty for that. But like when we got all our seatbelt laws here, where they can pull you over if they see you're not wearing a seatbelt, that was on the news. That was like, they had commercials for that on every TV station for like a year.
Oh, I want to say when they passed the seatbelt thing here, I believe that was all over the TV as well. But I mean, who knows? This one might have been on TV too. But a lot of people don't have TV anymore. A lot of people
that's true.
Fast forward commercials. A lot of people just, you know, watch Netflix. You know,
They could have done a mailer.
It's a waste of money. You really want them spending $1 million to send mailers to everybody in the state?
Emailer? MailChimp? I don't know.
No.
We just bored everybody to death with stupid traffic laws in Illinois. Anyway, my underrated, I actually have three, but I'm only going to go with the one for right now and possibly for good. But my underrated is Ronald Reagan for two reasons.
All right.
First reason is the obvious one. His complete and utter dismissal of the AIDS crisis in the 80s, I think, kind of makes him a monster. Whether or not it was a conscious decision or a subconscious kind of like, what? I don't know what you're talking about. For whatever reason, like, if you listen to people like Dan Savage talk passionately about how AIDS was ravaging the homosexual community during the 1980s, and when, you know, pressed to do something about it, Reagan was kind of like, what? I like baseball. What's on next? And then kind of just go, whew, leave the room. I think that qualifies. But also, this, I only found out about in the last, and I have to, you know, claim ignorance on this one, but there's a town in Mississippi, and I forget the name of the town off the top of my head. It's deep, deep, deep south, where there was a lot of KKK activity back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and I believe it was, there were three civil rights activists, two African-American, one white civil rights activist that were captured by the Ku Klux Klan, tied to the back of cars.
Yeah, Mississippi Burning.
Okay. The town right outside of where that happened, or where, like, just outside where the bodies were buried, or rather dumped in the lagoon or whatever, is where Reagan, whether it was his team, or if it was him, or if it was a combination of, they picked that town specifically when he was on the campaign trail to become president of the United States in 1980 to give his speech where he famously first invoked the whole states' rights thing. And they essentially say he was trying to kind of reinvigorate the whole South will rise again thing in a subtle way without being overtly racist, but was essentially going, you know, Civil Rights Act was a bunch of BS, and, you know, states' rights are what meant. He didn't say, obviously, any of those things because he would have lost instantly, but he tried to subtly, like, gesture that, you know, states' rights are important. And he did it in a place where civil rights activists were murdered, so.
Yeah, that is some coded language there.
Yeah, Reagan, he gets the big time thumbs down. If his own son has negative things to say, then there's a problem. So fuck that guy.
Yeah, I like that guy.
All right, Chris, you got anything?
Yeah, every celebrity.
Wow.
Well, that includes me, so you. No?
I'm speaking more like, you know, like Taylor Swift, the Kardashians.
I mean, some of those people suck, but I don't think they've murdered anybody or committed cannibalism.
No, but I think they deserve to go to hell. They just suck. They suck. Period.
I just picture you like your boxer shorts, like a bowl of Chex Mix. You're like, fuck these people, they're the worst.
They do. They kind of blow. You got to admit, especially like the Kardashians, dude. I mean, come on.
I guess. I mean,
they deserve to go to hell just based on their stupid show.
Man.
I have thankfully never seen it.
Me neither.
I know it exists.
I don't even know what it is. I don't know if it's like a scripted show or if it's reality or what it is. But
it's supposed to be reality. But it's scripted.
Yeah, I was gonna say all reality shows are scripted.
And they're famous. They're famous for nothing.
I did see like a clip of one episode. I don't know if it was while it was on or if it was on one of those clip shows, but it was. A clip from the upcoming season at that point where they had the family out on their two yachts, not just one. They had enough family members to need both yachts that day. And they were all like joking around about what a fun loving family they are diving into the ocean together off their yacht diving boards. I was like, oh yeah, everybody does that. I was going to go out of my yacht after I get done watching this.
They're a fucking bunch of motards.
So, you know, that's how they're kind of showing.
God, they fucking...
That's how they show that they're, like, just like one of us, taking the yacht out for a nice...
But, like, you see them, and, like, they act like they're fucking celebrities. I mean, they're famous for nothing.
No,
it's true.
And you know what? And to be quite honest, it's really Ryan Seacrest that should be going to hell and burning.
Nice.
Because he's the fucker that made him famous.
Did he?
Yeah, he's the one that fucking...
You know a lot about the Kardashians.
He's responsible for their stupid show. Well, because Brenda would watch it.
Uh-oh.
And I would tell her, I'm like, do we have to watch this? I'm like, I'm getting dumber by the fucking second.
He's watching it right now.
Right?
Fuck that.
Just like it's season 4 when Bruce did this. And it's like, wow, you know a lot. You know an awful lot about this show.
I'd rather have G.G. Allen piss down my throat than watch that show.
Wow. I think I'd just split the difference and watch Crisley Knows Best.
Actually, I'd rather watch that.
Oh, yeah, that's the...
Because it just reminds me of a
date. I know who that guy is. A tragic character, that guy.
Kind of. Got a lot of money, though, so...
Yeah. Cool. Well, then, God, I feel like mine's going to be heavy. I went with what I think is one of the worst living people ever right now, which is Joseph Freitzel. Do you know who he is?
No.
He's a guy... I want to say he's in Germany, pretty sure. You probably heard about him, because in 2008, it was discovered that he had been for 24 years keeping his daughter locked up in like a secret room in the basement.
I thought that was in the Netherlands.
Maybe it was. And sadly, also, if you also remember, it's not the only story like that came out around that time, too. But, like, the reason it came up is there's, I believe, Christopher
Hitchens. And she have a child from him, right?
7.
Jesus!
Right on. Yeah. Gross.
Yeah, one of them didn't make it past a few weeks. 3 of them stayed with her in the little dungeon, and the other 3, he would like tell he raised with his wife as foundlings. Like, oh look, I found this baby, and raised those kids. There was and the crazy thing is like you hear stories like that. You're like, oh well, the wife had to be on it or whatever. But
these are actually your granddaughter. I guess.
Yeah, it's messed up. I mean, they had social workers coming by the house all the time to check on the kids because they had technically adopted these foundlings. They had a renter that lived above the dungeon, basically, who's there forever and was always asking about what the noises were downstairs. And he's like, "Oh, it's the plumbing."
But I hear voices.
Is this a recent story?
This is what?
Is this a recent story?
Well, 2008 it came out, but he in like the late 80s or mid 80s, his daughter was 18 and she was helping him basically build this room in the basement that was going to be her prison. And when they finally put the door in, he put chloroform over her mouth, and that's the last time she was outside until she got out. And it was this like little hidden room in this basement that like no one was allowed to go down, but there was a keypad to get in, a keyless key entry, and then he went through this like small door, then it went to another bigger door.
Yeah, this shows you how stupid his wife is. Like, that doesn't set you...
Yeah, he
it doesn't trigger anything with you.
He forced his daughter to write, like, a note to say, like, I'm running away. I don't want to be here anymore. I'm going to live with friends somewhere far away. You'll never see me again. And then he drove to another city and mailed it from there. And then he'd get his daughter to, like, forge more letters and, like, send them every few years. And, yeah, his wife had no clue. No one had any clue. I mean, people come over the house and stuff, have no notion of what was going on down just below them.
How?
I know.
How did the mother not know? I mean, how did this... I mean, okay, you give birth to 7 kids in the basement. No one hears the screaming. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
I know. It's super hard to explain. I know a bit about the case, obviously, because I was fascinated by the horror of it. But, there's a lot more involved to it. It's an interesting yet totally dehumanizing read if you want to ever check it out. But that guy, still alive, 80-something years old. You know, it's one of those things like, I wish I was a religious person because then I'd be like, yes, this guy's going to hell. But, I mean, you know, if he was a Christian, then all he'd have to do is say sorry and he'd be fine. So.
Yeah, right. Wow. That's just ruined my day.
Yeah, no kidding. I never heard of that guy before. Sorry for that. I don't mean to laugh.
Like I said, I think I
ruined my day.
I had heard about it because I listened to Dogma Debate, that podcast with Dave Smalley, a lot. And one of his little like bumpers when he takes a commercial break is Christopher Hitchens, I believe, debating someone, and he brings up that, and he's like, you know, this woman prayed to her God for 24 years, and no one came, and it's like you how can you say that that's a good thing? Because this one guy who's debating was saying, like, yeah, it is a good thing. Like, she'll have a better life later.
No.
And he's like, that's the most morally reprehensible thing I could imagine anyone saying. Like, you were the worst person for thinking that. Like, oh, she'll be rewarded in the afterlife or something like that. Like, that's not a comfort. There's no justice there.
If anyone said that with a straight face, they should literally just be handcuffed and put in a room made of mattresses until they can reason their way out of that line of thinking, because that's so unbelievably stupid, for one.
Yeah, well, I mean, it brings to mind that saying that you can't reason someone out of a conclusion they didn't reason themselves into, and that's something that we said with a lot of people. In fact, I said it to my mother today on Facebook.
I can't believe somebody would say that, like, with a straight face, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, look at the Westboro Baptists. I mean, they're probably closer. They probably follow the Bible closer than most Christians. And, I mean, they say, like, they're horrible monsters.
Yeah. Did you ever read the story about how, two of the granddaughters escaped?
I heard about this. I know they do talks or something now, I think.
I just read when they first escaped, like, they were, like, utterly confused, and they were, like, having all kinds of questions about their faith, and the one granddaughter, I think she was, like, 19 at the time, said she read her first Ernest Hemingway novel, and she was so conflicted because it flew in the face of a lot of the things she was taught, but she loved it. And she's like, I didn't even know something like this could exist, and she's like, I'm just having, like, a complete crisis of faith. And I was like, well, keep going. Make it two a day.
I feel like I need to read more Hemingway now. I've only read the one.
There was the first, like, popular, if you want to call it popular American novel she'd ever read. Because she literally grew up reading the Bible and nothing but the Bible.
Oh, it's not even that good a book.
The Bible?
Yeah.
Yeah, the monsters in Dungeons and Dragons are way cooler.
Mm-hmm. I do like that there used to be giants, though. I think that's really cool.
I agree. I actually,
and I like in that movie Noah, they put the giants in the movie. I was like, yes.
I have not seen that movie.
I haven't seen it either. I watched the beginning. I wasn't really holding my attention, so I didn't continue it. But there are, like, big giants in the beginning, and it's great.
You mean like Attack on Titan?
Kinda. Actually, not that far off.
That's cool.
I will admit that I did see The Passion of the Christ.
I never saw that.
It's not great. And honestly, it's... the first hour is just a lot of boring, you know, biblical trial of Christ kind of BS. But then it just turns into an hour-long beatdown of Jesus, which is, like, overwhelming. And you're like, come on. I mean, it turns into, like, Grindhouse in, like, a matter of minutes.
Yeah, I know. I knew someone that I worked with that was super into that stuff. And they'd said, like, they're like, are you going to see that? I go, no, it doesn't really interest me. And they're like, well, you know, that's my faith, so I feel like I have to. I was like, you know, I don't have to.
Yeah, they do have the A-team down the hallway. I don't know why I wanted to see it, because I've not been of any religious anything for many years, and I think it was just so buzzed about at the time. I was like, all right, I have to see this movie. And then I saw it, and I'm like, I got nothing out of that other than, you know, I just watched Jesus get the shit kicked out of him for 90 minutes, and I don't feel good about it, but I don't feel anything. I feel nothing. I feel like going home and watching Goodfellas and forgetting I saw that stupid-ass movie.
It sounds like a better choice.
People all around me in tears, like it was a YouTube video. Like, I can't believe they just keep hitting him. It's like, well, that's kind of what you guys say it happened. I mean, it probably didn't, but
If there was a movie that just played videos of dogs getting really excited to see their owners coming back from war, I would probably cry like that in the theater. But that's probably about it. Those videos kill me, man.
I've only seen like one or two of them.
They're not easy. It's I don't know why, but I agree. They're
dogs like wigging out when their owners come back, especially when the dog like goes so crazy, like runs away from the owner and like attacks a tree for a second because it just can't handle the excitement. When I was little, I was going into kindergarten for the very first time, the very first day, and I have the vivid memory of this, and it's been confirmed by my family. That I got so excited when I first met my teacher that I ran away and I went to the playground and I ate a handful of sand. Like, I just didn't know what to do. Like, it's just completely, my brain just like shut down.
That definitely makes up for the story about the dungeon.
Yes, sorry about that. That was a bummer. I didn't
I don't want to say.
I just need someone else to bear a little of the burden with me.
I don't want to necessarily say thanks for sharing, because now I know, but you know, I feel like these are things that you should know about your world, I guess. But then knowing that you ate sand kind of is another thing that I'm glad to know now. Like, I can just put that in another place and be like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. That's good.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess a little less of the depress and a little more of the best things ever.
It's kind of a depressing show if you think about it.
No, I mean, just a little.
A little bit depressing. A
little bit.
Trying to pepper a joke in here every now and again.
Well, let me pepper in some goodness with the best things ever. I honestly haven't really done shit all week and whatever, so I'm going to be totally cheeseball about this, and I'm going to say a veil.
Nice.
And I'm going to single out the records Dixie and then again 4 a.m. Friday, because those two are my favorite, and that's what I've been listening to for the last like 2 days.
Nice.
And I really think I'm going to get the cover of Dixie tattooed somewhere soon.
You should. That's a good one, man. Brian from Botch has that tattooed on his arm.
Ooh, where on his arm? Because I don't want it to be the same place.
I think the rocker spot.
I don't know where that is.
Just like
I never got into that band.
Do you ever see him live?
I don't think so.
Because I didn't really care either way. I got the first record, you know, when it came out, because I was like, oh, it's so great. And I was like, it's okay. You know, not really my thing, but it's cool. And then I saw him a couple times. Once when I was on tour with Dead Guy, we played with him in Virginia. I mean, I wasn't in the band. I was in Brody. And then when I was in Kiss It Goodbye, we played with the Veil in Seattle. And both shows, they were just so awesome to watch live.
Yeah, they are.
Like, it was such a good show. You just leave there just feeling great.
Agreed.
So, Albo's got that awesome tattoo that just says Hate Giant on his back. It's awesome.
Back to the rocker spot.
Mm-hmm.
Where is this now?
I think just like, you know, just under the shoulder on your bicep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was thinking...
Where all of the White Lion tattoos are in the world.
I was thinking the palm side forearm.
Oh, okay. I think that's more like the first hardcore tattoo spot. Or no, actually, that's ankle. Sorry.
I don't have ankle. I have one
tattoo on my ankle to prove it.
I have the wrist and I have the ball of the shoulder.
Nice.
I was going to say, like, the last time or two that I saw a Veil, I think I was kind of a little bit... done with them for that period, because I saw them way too many times, but yeah. Probably one of the best shows I ever saw, Paramus, New Jersey. It was Avail, Samuel, and I forget who the opening band was. The singer of Avail, Tim Berry, was throwing up on stage and still like just completely went for it. They played like 20 songs, and he would take breaks like every 3 or 4 songs to go behind the drummer and vomit into a bucket.
Yeah, I saw him do that too. I think that's just a thing he did. Like not like a shtick. I think it's just a reaction.
A nervous tick.
Well, just like when he came out on stage, he was like shivering, and he's like, "I'm like super sick, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this whole show, but I'm going to do my best." Hold on. He goes behind the drummer, and then they go, "All right." He's like, "I'm ready. Go." And then they just went right into I forget what song, but I was just like, holy shit, this guy's like vomiting all over himself, and he's got like he's a ball of energy. And actually, the first time I saw them was in Louisville, and I thought they were horrible. Really? The only thing I liked about him is that he wore a Nuclear Assault Hang the Pope t-shirt. And I was like, I don't know who this band is. They suck, but that shirt rules.
When when we played with them, they told us that they were playing more shows that year than there were days in the year.
Nice.
They had a show almost every single day, and some days they had 2 or 3 shows a day.
Wow.
Like, their only days they had off were if they were flying to Europe or something. And then they'd have, like, a morning festival show and then a night show at another bar or something like that. They I think they were playing 367 shows that year.
Wow.
I was like, that is insane.
That'd be an awesome time, though.
Yeah, it would be great. I mean, those guys are such maniacs, too. I bet it was pretty fun to be in the van with them.
I believe it. Yeah, it was actually that 7-inch that came out right before Dixie. I forget what label they put it out on. But that is what got me kind of into them. Because we listened to that for like one solid weekend, like 400 times. And I was like, all right, that the song about the homeless guy, the name's escaping me right now. But we heard it so many times, I'm like, I think I love this song. So yeah, Avail was pretty amazing. Their later records, I haven't really heard them since they came out, so I can't really say, but
I must have sold them. I was looking through my records just to make sure I still had them. I must have sold them at some point. That's too bad.
Which ones?
I'm sure they're readily available. All my Avail records. I was just looking to see if I still had them. That or the other thing, I'm often really bad at alphabetizing, so they might be like in the V's.
Well, I have the first three on CD. I can send them to you if you need them.
Oh, I got Spotify. I'm fine. Thank you, though.
Of course.
Actually, one of my favorite ones is the live 10-inch.
Yeah, Live at King's Head Inn.
Yes. I bought that at the second More Than Music Festival, right nice. Before Outspoken played. Oh, no, Split Lip. I don't know. We went there, like, super late. I remember Iconoclast was playing, so I was like, fuck this band, because I didn't, you know, wasn't always that smart. And then Split Lip played, and I'm like, man, these guys were amazing 2 years ago. Why do they sound like fucking, what's that band with Rob Thomas? Matchbox 20?
Matchbox 20.
I'm like, these guys sound like Matchbox 20 now. What the fuck? Although they did play like one song off the 7-inch, which was kind of awesome, and then Outspoken.
Is that when the moon, my saddle, or the moon over my saddle?
No, it's like a year.
Moon's
after.
Over my hammy.
It was the year or two before they put out that one album.
Fate's Got a Driver.
Yes.
You don't like that album?
I do now. I hated it back then. Back then, I thought it was
you're all about For the Love of the Wounded.
I didn't even like that back then. I only liked the 7-inch. And the song on the
Voice of the Voiceless.
Yes, that I liked that song, and I liked the 7-inch, and that was it.
You loved For the Love of the Wound.
Oh, I do now. I absolutely love that record. I love Fate's Got a Driver too.
Did they have a 7-inch on Antimatter Zine that came out too?
I believe so.
That came with the Zine. I think I have that because I don't think I have anything else by them.
They played around here a ton because they're from.
I don't know if they ever made it here.
Split Lip?
Yeah.
That'd be surprising. They might have made it as Chamberlain.
Oh, Chamberlain definitely came here.
Yeah, same exact band. They just changed the name and started wearing cowboy boots.
You say boots?
The singer started wearing cowboy boots on stage.
Yeah, because I remember when they played The Moon in My Saddle had come out. It was like 98. And I went with Jason Gagofsky and Iron Stability. And they're playing in some bar in Lincoln Park at some total yuppie place. And there's like five people. Four of us being, you know, Jason, Ian, and Niraj and I. And Gagofsky is fucking going nuts. Like fucking. Like like ISIS is playing or something.
I can picture that.
I was laughing more at him because he's like fucking going ape shit crazy for this fucking alt country fucking version of fucking Split Lip.
he's a little package of energy, that dude.
Yeah, and he's like these fucking pussies better play fucking song. And I'm trying to think who was the drummer of Split or Chamberlain. He was the dude that was in New End Original.
Oh, God.
I want to say his name is Charlie, I think.
No idea. I had a girlfriend that really liked them. That's all I know.
What, New End Original? Or?
Yeah, New End Original.
Yeah, I liked them too.
I don't know if I've ever heard them. I just immediately thought of that ex-girlfriend and I got a little chill.
Sorry.
It's not your fault. It's New End Original's fault.
It's basically Texas is the Reason and Chamberlain and Far.
Okay.
So, there you go.
Right.
There you have it.
All right. Mine is I'm not working tomorrow.
Hey, best thing ever.
Cool. I'm coming over.
Big time.
Nice. Serious.
Well, I guess we're not going to get much out of that one.
I'm coming over.
I just, like I said, dealing with rich people today, specifically, I just like, oh, God, this day off couldn't come at a better time because I don't want to listen to quarterly this or any of that stuff. Because none of that stuff is trickling down to this guy, so this guy just doesn't care. This guy wants to sleep in and play The Witcher tomorrow. That's what he wants to do.
Eh, you're not going to play The Witcher.
You got anything in there, Chris?
I'm going to be moving soon. That's about it.
Dude, you have been using that for the last 6 weeks.
I know. We finally are November 7th.
Jeez Louise.
November 7th.
The best thing ever for you is going to be going to bed, man. You're tired.
I know, right?
Yeah, I am.
You got the yawns.
Well, I mean, I don't want to be like I had the best one so far, but can Damien beat it?
I cannot. No, mine is going to be that I get to fight with my mom about politics later because she's called me a few times during the podcast because she's apparently very upset about me tearing apart her insane statements. I don't try to engage her. I don't. But she puts out the craziest stuff, and it makes me worried for her. My favorite comment today she said out of everything. I mean, I'm no giant fan of Hillary Clinton. She loves Trump. She doesn't love him for anything about him, though. She loves him because he's not Hillary, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And I always, you know, my attacks on Trump are never defenses of Hillary. They're always just attacks on Trump because I don't need to build up the other one to tear down the one. But she had said in her thing, she's like, Hillary Clinton has never legally made money any money in her life. And I was like, what? No. You can't say something like that without backing it up. That is beyond hyperbole. That is just wrong and insane to believe that.
It's just asinine.
Yeah, it's like, it's super crazy. So, you know, I see that. It's like, you know, there's a level in which, like, you let someone kind of, like, chill in their delusions. You're like, whatever, it doesn't matter. I mean, like, I used it before. I'll use it again. I said it earlier, and I'll say it now. You can't reason someone out of something they didn't reason themselves into. You know, I can't talk reason into my mom. I can't do it. I mean, I know I can't, because she's not reasonable. I mean, she's my mom. I love her. But, I mean, she's my mom. I know her. She's crazy.
You should just tell her words will not leave you scarred.
I mean, she wasn't a lawyer for free. She wasn't she wasn't in the Senate for free. She wasn't Secretary of State for free. So she made money doing, mind you, their political jobs, but it's still a job. And before that, she was a lawyer.
Yeah. No, I know. She's been in politics for almost 30 years. I mean, what other job was she supposed to have in that time?
She's from Chicago.
There you go.
Yay.
No relation whatsoever, but okay.
Yeah, I mean,
I never even knew that she was until like recently. I was like, dude, I'm like, you would never know she's from here because she never makes any mention of it.
Well, that's because her and Obama faked the moon landing.
Yeah, so it's, I get it. I got it all from her today, and it's all like, she's like, Hillary and Obama take money from foreign countries. It's 100% proven. I'm like, okay, you're talking about the Clinton Foundation. It's not 100% proven, and your implication is that somehow they've benefited personally from this, like into their bank account, which that is not the case. It's like you can't just change the words in a sentence of a sentence that could be true, that yes, the Clinton Foundation took money from Saudi Arabia and from Qatar and all these horrible regimes that do terrible things to people. You can't say that that is a true statement, but then when you start to say like they took money from these places that kill people or whatever, like the implication is there's bribery and stuff going on. You have to expand it. The story's bigger than that. It doesn't fit into a soundbite or a meme or on a bumper sticker. I mean, these are real situations that have nuance, and I don't think my mom has the capability for nuance, you know?
You know what? I don't want to stretch out the politics here, but I do want to touch on this whole, like, because everyone, for some reason, is still, like, going on about this email scandal. Like, is anyone really surprised that a 69-year-old woman does not know how to use email?
No. Like, I mean, her biggest crime in that thing is being incompetent. That's all.
Like, well, and here's the point I was making with somebody at work today. Like, why was she allowed to run her own server? Like, shouldn't there be, like, a federal, like, IT guy who sets all that shit up for her? Like, why was she allowed to take control of her own email server in the first place? You know what I mean? Like, and I do want to mention, too, like, here's the thing. If you're fucking emailing national security confidential emails back, like, if you're doing it through email, you're an idiot anyway.
To hclinton69@gmail.com.
You know what I mean? Like, if it's really some classified, high-level state security shit, you shouldn't be emailing it in the first place. I don't care if she deleted it or not. It shouldn't have been emailed if it's really that classified. Because if anyone knows how email works, classified. You know what I mean? Anyone can hack into that.
Yeah, and the thing about something being classified is it's not classified at the source. You know, it's not like it's classified after being reviewed. I mean, most things that she sent that were classified after the fact, as most things would be. It's not like, you know, you make a phone call and you're like, hey, by the way, this phone call's classified. Like, there's no content yet. There's nothing to classify.
This email will self-destruct in 30 seconds.
Yeah, and I think there's also an implication there that somehow there is a possibility for emails to be, like, 100% safe from hacking. And I think that is just hubris. Like, there's no truth to that at all. I mean, whoever hacked it, whatever, like, the ability is there to do so. I mean, that's the reality of the world we live in now, is that everything is available. Like, if it goes across, if it leaves your house digitally and goes somewhere else, it's going through things. It's hitting, you know, I mean, I don't even know how this shit works, to be honest. So I'm gonna be talking to my ass here. But I know that nothing is 100% secure, at least maybe at the source, maybe at the moment. But there's, like, you know, if the file is sitting on someone else's computer, if the email is sitting, you know, the receiver, they have the whoever receives the email, there's a level of security issue there. I mean, again, I'm talking to my ass, so I better be quiet.
Well, I'm just saying, like, speaking from an IT guy here, mm-hmm. I'm a very patient man at work, and I do my best to educate people with computers because they come to me with some of the most ridiculously silly questions. But I don't laugh at them. I don't, you know, I try to educate so that they understand why whatever's happening is happening. And they don't, like, I've explained email to them a million times, and they still, like, just today I'm getting questions. They're not getting my emails. What did you do? I didn't do nothing. If they're not getting your email, their server is blocking you. I have no control over that. That's something mm-hmm. they need to take care of. Get off my back. You know what I mean? But, I mean, I don't know if it's still true at this point, but I know up until a couple of years ago, at least, every single email was routed through servers in Chicago. You know what I mean? So, that's what I'm saying. If you're emailing the stuff, the second you hit that send button, anyone who knows what they're doing can read it.
There you go. Yeah, no, I posted an article on Facebook a couple of days ago about the whole email scandal and what it really is and what it really means. And it's, you know, it's not great. It doesn't look great for her, but it's not nearly as nefarious as anyone would make it out to be.
Right. Well, I guess my whole point was, like, is anyone surprised that an elderly person does not understand how email works? Because I wasn't.
My only thing with the email thing, and I haven't read too deeply into the specifics, but I think it's interesting and kind of humorous that people don't hold themselves to the same incredibly high standards at their own jobs when they too often will send things that they shouldn't.
Oh, yeah.
For example, like people who send me information that I ask for, but then also send me how much they're charging our customer, who ends up charging us more, so now I know what the actual cost of things are. I don't say anything, but it's just like one of those things. I'm like, I can totally see her being like, Hillary Clinton's irresponsible with her email, and while they're doing completely irresponsible things with their own emails. I mean, it's two different levels of importance, obviously, but still.
Right.
You know, if you're going to sit there and scream about something every day for a year and a half, maybe you should, I don't know, take a look at how you're conducting your own behaviors and such.
Yeah.
But, you know. Why do that when you can wear sweatpants and yell at everybody?
Well, I'm not running for president. Shut up. Shut up.
Good.
Yeah, right. Because with her, it's, well, she's an idiot. She shouldn't be running. Well, Trump did all of this. Well, I mean, that was all in the past. It's locker room talk. It's okay.
Yeah. My mom was like, that's back when he was a Democrat. I was like, oh, okay. So then any of the stuff that Bill Clinton did when he was a Democrat, that should be forgiven too, right? No, that's not what I'm saying. It's like, I know it's not, because it's called cognitive dissonance, and you have it.
I just don't like that I feel like I'm being put in a position to have to defend the things she does when I'm not even a fan.
I know, I can't wait to hate her as president.
Yeah, it's not like I'm, like, you're like, oh, you automatically love her. I'm like, no, I actually don't, but you're putting me in a position to stick up for her because the things you're saying are insane.
Yeah, there's so many insane things that have happened this season that are driving me crazy, and I can't wait for it to be over.
Oh, I know.
Like the Bernie bro kind of people saying, like, well, you know, Bernie wouldn't beat Trump. That's all I'm saying. It's like, no, he would not have. Are you insane? Do you think an openly socialist candidate, once the Republican machine started working against him, would have had any chance in this country? That would have never happened. I love Bernie, but no one saw him as a threat, so no one moved against him. I mean, the implication that he would have won to me is crazy. I love the guy. I think he did a really effective job at what he was doing, and I think he is completely pleased with the work he did, as he should be. I mean, he really moved Hillary to the left on a lot of things. He still has that opportunity. He can still revitalize a movement after the election is over so we can get rid of this first-past-the-post voting, which would be amazing. He's fantastic. The idea that he would have ever been president in any reality is crazy to me. Because once you mobilize, like, the South and the independents and the libertarians that end up eventually voting, you know, that don't just vote for their Libertarian Party. These are often people who will eventually vote for either the Democrat or the Republican because they understand this is actually, you know, a game with actual stakes. Like, if you put them up there and you say, like, hey, this guy is not you. I mean, when people say like Obama's a socialist, that's pejorative. if they say about Bernie Sanders, they're just being descriptive because that's what he is. I mean, I love him, and I wish we had more socialism in this country, and I wish their socialists could run. I mean, I'm as pink as they come, but I think that whole concept, too, to me, is just bananas.
Well, yeah, that, at this point, I'm kind of keeping my fingers crossed that maybe he'll get some kind of important cabinet position as, like, a consolation. I mean,
yeah, or just be in the public all the time, which would be great. I just want his, like... I want him to continue to motivate those people that he motivated so much, because those people are the ones that are having kids and, you know, getting working jobs and buying houses. I mean, they're like, they're important.
Right.
Yeah, he's an excellent, he's an important player in the long game.
What amazes me the most is how people get so excited over the presidential race, but then when it comes to Congress and all that, they keep electing the same idiots. Like, well, dude, if you're a progressive Democrat, whatever, and you're gonna, you know, fight for, you know, your, I think so, yeah. And you're gonna fight to get your, you know, your horse in the office, so to speak. But then you're gonna keep electing the same opposites to Congress. It's like you're never gonna get anywhere. People just, I think they care so much about the presidential, but then they just kind of check off, you know, C all the way down the list, and they don't pay attention. That's where the real change has to happen. But I think we've pretty much lost everyone on Skype here at this point, so unfortunately I guess we'll just we'll call it here because it's running a little long. So once again, hope you have a good Halloween, had a good Halloween, whatever the case may be, but we will talk to you next week. And until then, you can find me on Twitter at XorsonX. You can find Brian at Pure Rock Theory. And you can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast. And you can find the rest of our podcasts at comicroast.com. Have a good week.